Now, in the past Songs of Degrees that we've been looking at and studying, we have noted often that the psalmist praises God for personal deliverances and indeed for national deliverances. Well, here in Psalm 125, we find the psalmist contrasting the life of the Christian with the life of the person who is not a Christian. In other words, contrasting the life of the saved with those who are unsaved. Yes, in this contrasting picture, the psalmist shows the great difference there is between those who are saved and converted and those who are still lost in sin. Yes, he shows us here how the righteous differ from the ungodly. Yes, he shows us here how the life of God's people is a life that is marked by God's blessing, a life that knows spiritual prosperity, whereas the life of the unsaved, the life of the Christ rejecter, is a life that is marked by woe and misery and spiritual ruin and destruction. Yes, in this contrast here between the saved and the unsaved, the psalmist shows us, yes, that the favor of God, the mercy of God, and the blessing of God is upon his children. But in turn, we see also that the wrath of God, indeed the curse of God, is upon those who reject the Lord. Those who reject the Lord and his way of salvation from their sin. Yes, it has been said by one of old that the contrasting picture here in this psalm between the saved and the unsaved, between those that are converted to Christ and those are lost, that contrasting picture really can be summarized in the words of Isaiah the prophet when he says, "Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, and woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him." And people, in the time that is set before us here in our service this morning, want just to look at this contrasting picture the psalmist gives between the saved and the lost. And there are three things I want you to notice from the psalm regarding this picture. Notice, first of all, here with me, the character of the saved, the character of the saved. In verse number 3 there of the psalm, you'll see there that the character of the saved is described as being righteous. It says, "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous." Notice that word righteous. Underline it in your Bible. That word righteous there really means to be declared just, or if you like, justified before God. And my, that is how it is with all who are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, such are justified before God. Their sins are all forgiven by God. Indeed, they are accepted as righteous before God. You see, by faith in Christ, all their sins are pardoned, forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed upon Calvary's cross. And indeed, by faith in Christ, they now have a righteous standing before God. Why? Because the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to them as the people of God. If you turn in your Bible over to the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter number 3, you'll see here how Paul highlights these great truths as he writes here to God's people in the city of Rome in his day and generation. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 22 and verse number 25 of the chapter. In Romans 3, verse 20, he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight." In other words, no person can make themselves or make themselves declared just or like justified before God through any work of self or of man or any religious rite or ceremony. That's really what Paul is saying there. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law," he says, "is the knowledge of sin. But now," he says, "the righteousness of God," notice it, "without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Summing up those verses, we can see here Paul is teaching us that no person, Jew or Gentile, can be justified before God by their works, by their religion. However, that Jew, that Gentile can be justified before God, he says there, by the faith, he talks about, of Jesus Christ. In other words, through trust in Christ as their Savior, their Mediator, that person, Jew or Gentile, whoever he is, whoever she is declared just in the sight of God. They're accepted as righteous before God. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to them. Then look at verse 25 of Romans chapter 3. It says, of Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation really means to appease, or if you like, to quench the wrath of God that is against all mankind because of their sin. He says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, and Christ has done that by his work on the cross, he says, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, notice it, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. There Paul talks about the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. And it is by faith in Christ, the Son of God, that a person, whoever they are, whatever their sins are, can be forgiven those sins and be declared forgiven before Almighty God. Well, here we see how Paul sets before us these wonderful blessings of pardon for sin and being declared righteous before Almighty God through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And dear child of God, dear believer in the meeting today, let me say this is your portion today through faith in Christ. This is your standing today through faith in Christ, by faith in Christ. All your sins have been forgiven, blotted out by Almighty God. By faith in Christ, God now accepts you as one of his righteous ones. Indeed, it is just as if you had never sinned before Almighty God. And accepting you as one of his righteous ones, believer, you can say today with the hymn writer of Christ, Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. This is the great truth that the psalmist sets before us in this psalm as he describes the people of God, that they are righteous. Their sins are forgiven. They are brought into a state, a declared righteous before God, and it is all through Christ, through faith in Christ. This is how it was for the Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament saints. There is only one way of salvation from the beginning of time right to the very end of time. Believer, that is your portion today in Christ. And Christian, never lose sight of that in your Christian life. Your sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. And you are accepted in God's sight just as much as Peter, Paul, and John, and the Apostle Paul, and others are accepted in God's sight. You are accepted just as much in God's sight through Christ, through the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to you. But as well, yes, as reminding the saved of their standing before God. This title here of righteous in verse 3 of the psalm, it also speaks of how the saved are to live out a righteous life, a godly life, a holy life in this world day by day. And Christian in the meeting this morning, believer in this world, in our daily life, in our homes, in our family circles, in our places of employment, in our interaction with others and community, and in God's work, our life is to be marked by righteousness, by things that are right, by godliness. Indeed, that means us as believers turning away from that which is sinful and wrong and iniquitous in the sight of God. Notice the warning that is given there to God's people at the end of verse 3 of the psalm. It says, lest the righteous, he says, put forth their hands unto iniquity. In other words, as believers, we are not to put our hand, as it were, upon that which is wrong and sinful and iniquitous in the sight of God. As believers, our hands are not to be stained, as it were, with iniquity. Also, a righteous, godly life means us, as believers, trusting the Lord, living by faith, trusting the Lord in every situation of life. And notice the great encouragement to do that in verse 1 of the Psalm, where it speaks of the righteous, of the Christian, of the child of God. And it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And a godly life means a life of faith, a life of trusting in the Lord, not resting upon ourselves. For what we can do counts for nothing. But you and I resting upon the Lord, living by faith upon the Lord day by day. Then we can say further here that this righteous, godly life, it means a life of prayer. You and I as believers praying to God, praying for ourselves, and especially praying for other believers in Christ. Notice the emphasis upon that in verse 4 of the Psalm. And it's really a prayer here for God's people to utter. It says, really, and it's a prayer, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. And the life of the righteous, the life of the godly, is marked by prayer. Yes, public prayer is vital, but also private prayer, daily prayer at the throne of grace, it's vital. It's the very life breath of the Christian, of the child of God and the church of Christ. And can I say, people of God in the meeting this morning, that such a testimony is possible for us. Possible for us in this ungodly world by God's grace in our life, by the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Anything that God asks us to do in this life, it is possible in this life for us as God's people by His grace. And this was the very testimony of Noah before the flood. And Noah lived in a very ungodly, wicked world. Turn back to the book of Genesis, right back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 6. And just look at what you read about Noah. Just immediately before that, we read how God saw sin and corruption everywhere abounding in the world. But look at what He saw in Noah, verse 8 and verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6. And let's not fool ourselves. The world in Noah's day was no easier than it is today. He lived in a very evil and wicked age. But it says of Noah, verse 8 of Genesis 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. He was forgiven. He was saved. It says he was perfect. That doesn't mean he was sinlessly perfect. No. There's no sinless perfection until heaven. But it means that he lived an upright life, a godly life, in his generations, in his society. And it says, and Noah walked with God. Noah knew blessed fellowship and communion with God as Heavenly Father in this world, and was all through grace. It says of Noah that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And dear Christian, let me encourage you today, by God's grace, you and I also can bear such a testimony. We can walk with God. We can bear a testimony for Christ in our home, in our workplace, in our community, in God's work, and wherever the Lord leads us in His providence, by resting, living, depending upon, trusting in the grace of God day by day to meet our every need. Yes, we see here the character of the saved in the psalm. Notice, secondly, the blessing of the saved in the psalm. And my, you see there that there is the blessing of being established in the ways of God. Look at verse 1 of the Psalm. It says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. Notice the mention there of Mount Zion. That speaks of that which is fixed. That which, if you like, is permanent. And believer, by dependence upon the Lord, by resting upon the Lord, your faith can be strengthened. Your faith can be made strong and steadfast here in this earth, no matter what comes your way in life as a Christian, as a believer. Indeed, speaking of the believer whose faith is firmly anchored in the Lord, in another psalm, the psalmist says this about such. He says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And people of God, no matter what comes our way in life, through faith in the Lord's grace and faith in the Lord's power, you and I can be kept anchored and sure and steadfast in the ways of God. I remember one occasion visiting with a Christian lady who was seriously ill. And in the midst of her illness, she witnessed great peace and contentedness in the Lord's will for her life. And her life was marked by that peace of God that passeth all understanding in her time of great trial and need. And this was all due to the fact that her faith was firmly anchored in the Lord and rooted in the Lord and in the things of God. And that's the Lord's promise of peace to all his people who yield to him and depend upon him. Turn over there to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, and look with me, please, at verse 3 and verse 4 of that chapter. Here Isaiah is speaking to the Lord. He says, of the Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, strength that abides for time and indeed for eternity. And that's one of the great blessings that the psalmist here highlights in the psalm before us. The blessing of the believer being established in the ways of God. He says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever firm and steadfast and sure in the ways of God. Yes, there's the blessing of being established in God's ways. But we see further here in Psalm 125, there's also the blessing of the Lord's protection and the blessing of the Lord's presence. Look at verse 2 of the psalm. Look at what is said there. It said, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from thenceforth, even forever. What beautiful words those are to the Christian. The thought here is of the Lord being with his people, indeed protecting his people. It says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people. Remember again what the psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 6. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth, he says, round about the people of God, his children. And believer, can I say, this is your portion in life as a believer. The Lord says to you, dear Christian, he says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the Lord has promised, Christian, to be with you throughout all your earthly days, throughout all your earthly journey. Again, speaking further of his people in the book of Zechariah, the Lord says this, I will be unto her, he says, a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory, he says, in the midst of her. The Lord promises to be with us. And he promises to be around us, defending us, protecting us as his people. As a wall of fire. Sometimes you see those great fires out in Australia and America, and the firefighters are fighting those fires. And one of the means that they employ is to try to contain that fire from causing more harm or destruction is really to light a fire themselves and have a fire break that protects all their property from being engulfed in the flames. And may they themselves light the fire to give protection to other parts of the community where they're fighting that fire. And my, the Lord is around about you and I as his people as a wall of fire. Christian, keep that always before you in life. No matter what happens you in life, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be round about you as a wall of fire and being with you and protecting your life, believer. The Lord will keep you. He will keep you as his child. He will keep you as his most precious jewel, even unto life eternal. Unto life everlasting, unto life evermore. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And just look with me, please, at verse number 24. And just look at there what Christ prays. And remember this, all Christ's prayers are answered by God. And this is what he prays, dear believer, for you and for me and all his redeemed people, whatever color of skin we have, whether we live here or some other part of the globe. He says in verse 24 of John 17, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me, he says, where I am. He's speaking here of heaven. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. There the thought is that all God's people, not one will be lost, will be safely gathered into heaven, into glory, to behold even the very glory of Christ himself. This is a prayer that will be answered right to the very last letter. For not one of Christ's sheep shall ever be lost. Then we see also here something else from the psalm by way of blessing. There's the blessing also of knowing that the trials of this life are only for a season. And you see that again if you look carefully at what is said in the psalm in verse number 3. It says, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Yes, the Lord will chasten us as his people when we go astray and disobey the Lord. That's a very sign, a token that we belong to the Lord. However, that trial, that chastening is only for a season, only for a while. It says there in verse 3, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest. If you like, shall not stay, or if you like, shall not abide upon the lot of the righteous. Believer, the Bible says to you and I that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And believer in Christ, our trials on earth are only for a season. They're only for a while. Remember what Peter said to the believers of his day in the time of trial. He says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. It was only for a while, only for a season. That's how it is with you and I as Christians. And my, those trials are for the perfecting of our faith, the purifying of our faith. Remember what righteous, godly Job said of the Lord. He said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You think today of the beautiful butterfly that you see flying about in the garden in the summertime and the springtime, fluttering peacefully and gracefully over the garden from flower to flower and from tree to tree or shrub to shrub. But you know, before that beautiful insect can fly, it must struggle as a worm before it changes into that beautiful creature, the butterfly, and flies around the garden. There is that struggling before as a worm, before it becomes that object of great beauty to the human eye. And there's a lesson there for us as Christians, believers, as by the struggles of life, the battles of life, the trials of life, even the very disappointments of life, that our faith as Christians is purified and strengthened and perfected as the people of God. What blessings there are for the Christian. Notice one final thought from this psalm this morning. Notice the ruin of the lost sinner. And you see that in the very last verse of the psalm. For it says, as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth, it says, with the workers of iniquity. And my, yes, the ruined sinner we see here is one who turns away from God, turns aside from God, and goes after that which is crooked and perverse before the Lord. The exact opposite of the Christian and the child of God. That is how it was with Balaam. Remember, God spoke to Balaam, the false prophet, and he said, thy way, he said, is perverse before me. In other words, it was wrong in the sight of God. A friend in our meeting this morning on Save, let me say this. This is your life before God. This is really a picture of your life before God. If you're still not saved, it's perverse and crooked before God. The Bible says in your unsafe condition, you're on the broad way of sin and rebellion before God. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. In your unconverted state, you've sinned against God. You've come short of the glory of God. And your life is one of going further and further and further away from God. Notice there carefully what it says in that verse. It says, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. And this really shows to us the awful end of the ungodly life. It is as if they are being led forth to judgment. My, it is one of ruin and misery, no peace in this life. And then after this life, there's eternal punishment and judgment and hell in a lost, Christless eternity. And my, the unsaved, the crooked, the perverse, those who don't know the Lord as Savior, shall be led forth unto judgment, unto the judgment bar of God. You see, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. God says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. His word says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Friend, let me say to you this morning, there's a tremendous contrast here between the end of the saved and the end of the unsaved. The end of the unsaved is being led forth unto judgment. But what is the end of the saved? It is peace. Look at the final statement there of verse 5. It says, but peace, it says, shall be upon Israel, the Israel of God, the saved of God. For such there is eternal peace, eternal life, eternal joy, eternal hope in heaven forevermore. This is not so for the unsaved. This is not so for the person who is lost in sin. We read earlier from Romans chapter 2. And what does it say there in that chapter about the unsaved? It says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. My, there's tribulation in this life for the unsaved. Then after this life, there is eternal tribulation, everlasting tribulation and anguish. The fires of hell forevermore. Oh, see the awful difference between the saved and the unsaved. There's once an atheist, and they were on their deathbed, and that person had lived for self. They'd lived for sin, and indeed the very denial of God. And speaking of that ruined life, they said these words about that ruined life. They said, its weight sinks me into an endless, hopeless, helpless hell. They realized then the awful futility of such a life. They knew that they were doomed to a lost eternity in hell because of their sin, because they rejected God and turned away from God. Men and women, young people, boys and girls in the meeting this morning, let me ask, how is it with you today in this meeting? We've looked at the saved, we've looked at the unsaved. Under which picture do you find yourself in today? Are you a saved sinner in this meeting, bound for heaven? Or are you still a lost sinner in this meeting, bound for hell? Let me say this, that if you're to be saved and delivered from the eternal ruin of your sin, then now in time, yes, now in time, not after death, now in time, you must come by faith to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Let me say this, Christ will not turn you away. You think of the words of Paul. He said of Christ, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul reckoned himself to be the chiefest of sinners. Did Christ turn him away? No. Did Christ save him? Praise God, he did. Transformed his life, forgive his sins, set him on the road to heaven, made him a trophy of grace. And dear friend, the Lord can do the same for you. If you'll come in faith unto Christ, trust him as Savior, brought into the family and fold of God, know the blessing of God upon your life and death and in eternity. It says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. And it can only be well with you in time and death and in eternity if now in time you know Christ, you trust Christ, and you rest upon Christ alone as Savior and as Lord. We're going to close our meeting this morning We're singing together the hymn number 236 in our hymn book, the final hymn just in the order of service. Out of Christ without a Savior, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? We're going to sing the first, the third, and the last verse. Verse 1, 3, and 5, along with the chorus, standing as we sing and thinking of the words as we sing them. Oh, if you're not saved today, you'd heed even the message of this hymn and turn to Christ and trust Him as Savior. Standing to sing verses 1, 3, and 5, along with the chorus. Just going to close our meeting with a word of prayer, but if there's one today and there's a concern in your heart about your need to be saved, born again, saved and ready for heaven, then I urge you today to come to the Lord Jesus. He can meet that need right now. Don't go away without the Lord, without trusting Him as Savior. If I can be of any help to you, I'd be glad to open up God's Word with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who's able to save you for time and all of eternity. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in Thy house this morning. Bless the lessons of Thy word to our hearts. Write these things upon our minds, upon the very deepest recesses of our hearts. And we thank Thee for all in the gathering today who can say indeed with the hymn writer of old that it is well. That it is well with my soul. But Lord, if there's anyone today and they cannot say that of a truth, Lord, speak on to their hearts. And even today, may they close in with Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safety. Journey with us. Bring us back again in Thy will this evening hour. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all this day and always. Amen and amen.